I wrote the sermon when I was starting my series in Ordinary People, and I never thought that I would be writing it with a view to writing about the worst people in some of the worst people in the world, not just the good people. And I don't think I've ever preached a sermon on somebody who was, I don't know, one of the villains of the Bible. I've never had a whole sermon on Judas or on King Saul. So I thought, oh, there's a first time for everything. And I wrote it on the back of a friend writing me an email from New York saying she can't believe what has just happened in America. It was just after the elections, and she certainly didn't vote Republican. And she said, what has happened to my beautiful country? Strangely enough, I was also in contact with another guy who was at my wedding, and he said, I can't believe the good thing that's happened, that Donald Trump has come to power, or is coming to power. And it just made me wonder how we read the lives of influential people in the world. And it caused me to think of King Herod. Some people praised him. Some people thought he was a rotter. And just as the influence of King Herod would have ripples throughout the then known world, we're going to have ripples felt, whether it was Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. Still, we'd consider them to be ordinary people, but somehow they're different from many others. I've looked at people from my brief exchange with this friend, and I don't know that it's good to focus on a godless leader and say my sermon is about a godless leader. But it's not essentially about that. I said to the kids a little bit earlier, we believe in God, the Father Almighty. In other words, God is in control of godless leaders, governments that we don't enjoy. And my prayer is that from whatever perspective we come today, whatever our political allegiance is in South Africa or any other country, I noted that Adam's family have to sort of spread themselves over the whole world because can they get on with each other, Ed? Okay. Spread them far and wide. There's only, I know some of Adam's family, and I think one country has having one Radnitz in one country is enough for the country. But no matter what we think of friends and family, no matter what we think of political situations, we've got to understand that God is still in control. And whatever we recognize throughout the world is the last line of Revelation 6, 19, verse 6. Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. So although I'm preaching about Herod, and we need to understand some of the things around Herod's time, we've got to know that God is in control. Let's get back to Herod. Nothing was out of the ordinary was with this leader of Judea in the time that God's son was born in Bethlehem. Primarily, we note that he is just as human as anybody else. So that's my first point. If you're taking notes, my first point, Herod was as human as anybody else. It's hard to picture that because when there's such a strong, influential leader, we sometimes wonder what the world will be like without them. For those who were around at the time of Robert Mugabe, we wondered whether Zimbabwe would ever return to democratic rule. We might be asking the same today about Putin. We could have asked the same about Idi Amin or any dictator in the Far East. It's hard to picture a world without them. And yet, each of those leaders is as mortal as we are. On the same day that Trump was elected to power, a member of our congregation, a young father, passed away, same day. It just made me think, nobody's life is guaranteed. We are just as mortal as the next person. In fact, if you look at what happened to Herod, how he died, Herod died in Jericho, according to records, after an unidentified but excruciatingly painful, putrefying illness known to posterity as Herod's evil. Josephus states that the pain of his illness led to Herod's attempted suicide by stabbing, and that the suicide was only thwarted by his cousin. That's the pain that this leader was going through. Let's not just picture Herod in one sphere. What we've got to realize is that Herod did some really good things. He was well thought of. Josephus, the historian that I've just quoted, Josephus was on the side of Herod. He thought Herod was a great guy because Herod rebuilt the temple. So you'd know from history, if you know anything about the Old Testament, Solomon built this massive, beautiful temple to God. And having built the temple, everybody thought that this is here to stay, only for the Babylonians to destroy the temple completely. Then you remember after the exile, Nehemiah comes back with Ezra and they rebuild the temple. Same temple, they tried to build it with some of its former glory, just didn't have that same sort of beauty. And then it was totally decimated after that. Totally destroyed, not one brick on another. And Herod decided that he was going to rebuild the temple. This same Herod who we're vilifying at the moment was the Herod who was celebrated because he doubled the size, the platform for the temple in Jerusalem as we know it today. In fact, one of the retaining walls is still there today, even though the Romans destroyed the temple in AD 70. One of the retaining walls is still there. It's known as the Eastern Wall or the Wailing Wall. That was put up by Herod, the same Herod. Not only did he rebuild the temple, but there was a harbor in Caesarea that is still acknowledged today as an engineering feat. Herod used hydraulic cement and was poured into wooden forms. And according to the Geotech website, it is still recognized by today's standards as a solid wall, even today, 2,000 years later. So he has his naysayers, but there was a lot of Jewish support for King Herod. But he was just another man, as mortal as you or I. But what we also notice is that Herod was just as sinful as anybody else. That's my second point. Just as sinful. We want the best out of our leaders. We expect the best out of our leaders. When we have a government and they had to form the government of national unity, wasn't that exciting? All these parties coming together, working for a single purpose. And yet, what the nations didn't realize is that every single person in any seat of power, in any country, and South Africa is not excluded, every single person is a sinner. Put a bunch of sinners together in a room, and there's going to be disagreements. As good as the government of national unity sounds, there's going to be a fight from day one. Big things, small things, incidental things, things that are going to shape our government in years to come. Every coalition is run by ordinary people who are still selfish, at best, sinners. And that not only goes for political leaders, it goes for your church leaders. It goes for leaders in business. Why do we think it's so astounding that people try and siphon off money? And they're not just politicians, they're business leaders. They're so-called moral leaders, motivational speakers, preachers, mentors, friends have feet of clay. Herod's just as sinful as anybody else was. And what we all need to know is that one day there's going to be comeuppance for every single person. Those people that have wanted to separate themselves from God for good will be confirmed in that. And they will be separated from God for good. Those who have flouted their power and all their authority will one day have to come before the King of Kings, the Lord God Almighty, and give an account for all that they have done, both good and bad. Jesus' words, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for anybody who turns their back on God. When I say that he was a sinner just as much as anybody else, I've got to watch what I'm saying. I'm not saying that everybody is as bad can be. You get good people in this world, moral people, people wanting the best for others. But the thing that elevated Herod in terms of his wickedness was found in that account, where when the wise men came, he was filled with rage. He was jealous. He demanded to know when the star appeared so he could work out when the child was born. And then he gave the order that every child under the age of two should be executed in accordance with the time that Jesus would have been born. That doesn't make him ordinary on the level of someone who has a good heart and accidentally causes harm through neglect. It makes him a manipulative individual, an individual who has no sense of consequence. If normal individuals were stripped of their sense of dignity, dare I say that there might be many of us, if we could get away with it, who would be just as wicked as Herod. If we could get away with it, we might take a whole lot more than we've taken in our lives. We might slander others if we could get away with it and nobody knew where it came from. Just because we've classified this ruthless individual as ordinary gives him no cause to imagine that he's not going to be held accountable before God. And so my third point is that Herod was still under the hand of God. And so he's accountable. Just as much as we think that we are not accountable because we get away with things, so Herod thought he could get away with things because nobody could touch him. As soon as I mention a couple of names, I suppose you're going to start to get to see the flow of people who thought that they could get away with things and they just couldn't. Everybody mentioned in the Me Too movement, film director Harvey Weinstein, actor Kevin Spacey, rapper Sean Diddy Combs, UFC fighter Conor McGregor, Aerosmith's Steven Tyler, Jamie Foxx, Bob Hewitt, tennis star, entertainer Rolf Harris, comedian Bill Cosby, thought that they could get away with it just because nobody had pointed a finger at them yet. And what does God say about it? Although they know God's righteous decrees that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And so what does God do? Romans chapter 1, verse 24 says, God gives them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, and for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Does that sound as though this judge, the judge of all the universe, will just sit back and say, all right, I'm sorry I didn't stop you. It's my fault. I should have done something else. Or does it sound as though those who sin will carry on blaming God or blaming anybody else because they want to claim their own innocence? But even those who think that they've got an ironclad defense will be judged by the Lord of all creation. It's ultimately true that nobody's above the law. And the law that I'm speaking about is not the law of the jungle or the law of a country or the law that each person feels is right or wrong in their own hearts. It's the law of God where he says, I'm telling you what I'm like. Don't go against my word. And so it brings me to my final point. My final point is that God is still in control. God allowing people to do their own thing doesn't mean to say he's out of control. Neither does it mean that he's complicit in these evil acts. God's supremacy in ruling the world means that he can even bring good out of people's bad desires or efforts. Let me give you a couple of examples, points of application possibly, and you can see how God can still rule and not be complicit in bad things. Think of a great manager. A great manager is a man who comes into a business, sees that because of an economic downturn or a company faces liquidation, he can turn that business around and make it a thriving enterprise. You say, that's a good manager. A celebrated sports coach is one who has so many individuals who are injured that he brings on his second string team and it still beats the top flight opposition. A good parent, a magnificent parent, is somebody who can take a rebellious child and remain faithful to them despite their horrific choices and their disrespectful outbursts, and still ensure that they are accountable and that parent loves them back into relationship. That's a magnificent parent. And so, a good, gracious, holy, and wonderful God is a God who can take the issues of a King Herod, and even though he despises God, and this evil, malicious tyrant gets into power and holds his people with an iron grip, he can take that and he can say, I knew it was going to happen. I prophesied it hundreds of years ago. And what's more, it will fulfill not just the prophecies, but my will for my people. Isn't that a God who is far more in control of things than we would like to think? That he could take the horrific decision of Herod Antipas, as I mentioned to the kids a little bit earlier. And Herod Antipas is the guy who said, I'm not making a decision about Jesus going to the cross. Pilate, it's up to you. And God could take that decision and allow Jesus to die in our place. He can take the unwillingness of Pilate to make a decision about Jesus and use it for the good of his people. Where even Pilate says, I find no fault with this man. He overruled the choice, popular choice of King Saul to prove that he doesn't judge by external appearance. He judges the heart of man. And so the hope of the world is not in a person who is transitory and his fame is short-lived. Let me point to another historical figure, Winston Churchill. Isn't it amazing that after he had been instrumental in bringing about the defeat of the enemy, the people voted him out of power? They took him away from being the prime minister. Is it any wonder that he wryly remarked, democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others that have been tried? The people got the leader that they wanted. They got his deputy as their leader. And if anybody knows about anything about Anthony Eden, he brought the unemployment figure in Britain down to its lowest ever. Unemployment after the war under Anthony Eden was 1% in Britain. How long did Anthony Eden last? Of his four-year office, he went for a holiday after 2 years, and he was forced to resign after being 2 years in power. Doesn't that prove that to think that people are going to be there forever is not right? You turn to Psalm 75. Psalm 75, verse 7 says, but it is God who judges. He brings down one, he exalts another. You can turn to Proverbs. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Isn't that a nice proverb for Adam's talk? Under the threat of persecution, Paul could write in Romans 13, there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Daniel was under persecution. Daniel had been forced out of his home. He was taken into Babylon. And Daniel could write, God changes the times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. And if you think that's just looking back in hindsight, it's easy to tell what's going to happen. Think of King Cyrus. 150 years before King Cyrus ascended to the throne in Persia, God said, this is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of, to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. And so, though I've focused mainly on Herod, it's not about Herod, it's really about God. God was in control of Herod and Cyrus and David and King Solomon, Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, Madiba, Putin, Zelensky, King Jong, Naruhito. All of them are just mortals. Every day they will stand before God to give an account for every word, every thought, every deed. So in times when we have women weeping for their children, it wasn't just Bethlehem. Women today are weeping for their children in Gaza, in Israel, in Russia, in Ukraine, in South Sudan, in Mozambique, in Iran, in the Cape Flats, in Somalia. What hope is there? Leaders are mere mortals. The Lord God Almighty reigns. And we can trust him over and above ordinary people. Let's pray. On the back of American coins was minted the words, "In God we trust." Lord, that needs to be our theme for this year, this coming year. That despite the efforts of individuals, the frustrations of governments, the failings of leaders, the immoral outbursts of individuals, we must know that we can trust in you. We can trust in you for whatever is happening to those illegal miners in the Stilfontein mine. We can trust you for whatever is happening in the riots in Mozambique at this point. We can trust you, Lord God, for the massive events of international politics or the ordinary events of our own lives. We thank you that we can come to you in prayer and ask you to remind us that you always will remain constant and steadfast. And we pray this for your honor and your glory, both now and forever. Amen.